Messiah's Branch broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're all broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is July 24th, 2014. Today's date. Okay. Well, today, folks, we're having a little horn problem here, folks, so I think we'll just go on with it. Anyway, saints, really, Saints, the world is in turmoil, and most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is pretty simple, prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com is like a hub for all parts of our ministry, our mission church. You can find that over there, the Wichita Mission Church, and we just added a new page to that the other day, which now is a place that I'm going to post pictures from the mission church. You know, people doing things, you know. You can find that over there. You can find out how to donate over there. There's all kinds of things, radio program archives, so on and so forth. And don't forget, AmericanVoiceRadio.com has radio program archives. Anyway, you should check them out. Prayer, and now we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to talk about several different things tonight, but one thing I wanted to say about the world being in turmoil before I bring on tonight's guest is the fact that, really, have you looked around at this world? If you listen to Barack Obama, he says that, you know, well, the world's a peaceful place and so on and so forth. Really? I about fell out of my chair when I read that. But, no, it's not a peaceful place. There's wars going on all over the place. And somebody, when I was at the gym, said, you know, I was joking with them because they were it was a couple and they were kissing and I was teasing them. And I said, well, they were refreshing because I said, where's the love? Where's the love in this world? Do you see love all around you, or is there violence and bickering and anger and so on and so forth, and let alone with all the catastrophic things going on around the world? Well, an expert on catastrophes, I think, is my guest tonight, Francis Steffen. And we call him Frank. He's also the radio producer, and he has his own radio program called The Frank Report. Are you there with me, Frank?
Yes, I am, Dan.
You know, I noticed I called you the master of catastrophes, you know. I'm blaming the horn on you.
Yeah, well, it was my fault.
It was a joke. Anyway, I love having you on, Frank. And, you know, the last couple of programs that you did with me and are being picked up in the radio archives, and so you're getting as many listens as any of the other guests. What do you think about that, Frank? You're a star.
Only as many, not more.
Oh, my gosh. I knew you was going to say that. I knew that. But I think I'd like to open this thing with the first comments. You somehow, when we were talking earlier, Facebook got brought up. And, you know, in fact, on the Drudge Report, it says Zuckerberg, I guess his name is going to be one of the wealthiest, if not the wealthiest man in the world. What do you think about that?
Well, I commented on this on my show, and I just don't get it, Dan. I mean, I don't understand how a company that doesn't sell anything, has no products, doesn't really provide any kind of services other than, you know, a place for people to put up what they had for dinner and when they will go to the bathroom and all those important things everybody wants to know about. I just don't get where does a company like that get to be a $139 billion company? And, you know, the thing that people need to understand and they need to realize when they look at that and they go, well, gosh, that, you know, you got a point there. They don't really sell anything. I mean, they don't really, you know, where's all that money? I mean, how's that made? Well, you got to understand what FedBook does. They take your information, they profile you, they run you through analytics, and they develop a profile. And those profiles, information is money. Information is worth money. You just need to ask yourself, well, okay, who are they selling that to?
Well, let me go with that, and I agree with you. That's the same thing I was going to say. It's not, while there is a lot, we're starting to see a lot more advertisements and ads there, but the key factor is information. And who are they selling it to? Well, a non-conspiracy person might say, well, they're selling it to companies so they could, that people that would be interested in their products and so on and so forth. Absolutely. I believe that is one of the biggest underliers. But I don't think that's the biggest buyer. Who do you think the biggest buyer is?
Well, let me adjust my tinfoil hat here. I think it's the government.
Oh, really?
And I'm not, I don't just believe that it's only the United States government either. You have other governments out there that are interested in profiling Americans, including the United Nations.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what we're hearing, in fact, I read a report today earlier on, I hate to say it, another news program, on a news program, or actually Stan's program, we were talking about this. And the federal government just recently did a study, and they used, I think, I forget how many thousands of Internet users, and did it, ran a test on them on seeing if they could control their control the way that they thought about a certain situation, or even, in fact, you know, to see where their emotions led. So the government is openly talking about using it to control you.
And the important part of that, because I'm aware of that study also, is the fact that that study was done. And really what it wasn't a study, it was more of an experiment. And
right.
It was an experiment done on people without their knowledge or without their consent. These people didn't know this was going on, and the government did it without their knowledge and without their consent.
So there goes back to the point, you know, and you're absolutely right. They did it without your knowledge, without your consent. But let's go with this. You know, while we kind of might differ a little bit on this, but still come back to the same point, you know, while I don't believe that Zuckerberg started off as a government agent or anything like that, nor do I believe Google started off as a government agent or Microsoft starting off as a government agent. But all of these people, while the vast thing that they're after is more and more information, and you don't see anything major happening, like Microsoft, for example, when they ran around and collected, did street views, do you remember how they were kind of got in trouble for collecting, what was it, wireless network things, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you mean Google.
Yeah, Google. They should have really got in trouble for that, but they didn't really get in trouble for it. You know, at
well,
all.
No,
why?
I do have a little different view. I do agree with you about Microsoft. I don't think Microsoft started out as a government-controlled company. I think what happened was, if you'll remember back, there was an antitrust lawsuit the government filed against Microsoft.
Oh, yeah.
And the government won. Okay? And everybody was, you know, this was big news, this whole lawsuit, because Microsoft, the charge was, Microsoft, while it is not a pure monopoly, the charge was that they were exercising monopoly powers. Meaning, even though you're not really a pure monopoly, like you're not the only software, you know, maker around, you're big enough to where you are exercising monopoly power, meaning you're putting other businesses out of business and you're controlling and co-opting other companies that are your competitors. And they filed this lawsuit, and the government beat them. And the thing is, what happened to Microsoft? Nothing, really. You know, there was all kinds of talk that they're going to do the same thing they did to Ma Bell, because really, it was almost a model of the lawsuit that they filed and won against Ma Bell way back in the day when they said, okay, that's it. We're busting you up. You know, same thing they did with Standard Oil. You know, they said, hey, you're exercising monopoly power. You know, that's it. And these companies always argue, yeah, but we're not a real monopoly because there's other companies. That's where the government came up with, well, yeah, but you're exercising monopoly power.
Right.
And they beat Standard Oil. They beat Ma Bell. And they busted up both of those companies. But then they come to Microsoft. They do the same thing, they win, and they do not bust up Microsoft. As a matter of fact, Microsoft gets even bigger. So what kind of deal was made? I think at that point, that's when the government basically told Bill Gates and the boys there that, look, you're either going to do our bidding or we're going to break you into little pieces.
Right, right. Absolutely. I you know why I can't go? Because I'm not the father. I can't see that, and I wasn't told that personally by him. That completely adds up, and that's my point about the other companies. I don't believe they started off as government entities either, but I believe at some point the government said, hey, you know, look, we can do this or this to you or cause you a lot of pressure, so you need to open the door for us. And, you know, I believe that they're working in cahoots with them, you know.
Well, and that's certainly, I think most people out there listening would agree with you on that they're working in cahoots together. The only thing is my view is a little different, because I think the government has advanced in their belief of what they can do and what they can get away with. And I do believe that both FedBook and Google were both started as, well, not so much Google, because Google's just started as a search engine. I mean,
right.
It wasn't even that good at first, you know. I used to use a search engine called Dogpile because it came up with better results than Google.
Right.
But then somewhere along the line, Google got better at it, and I think Google is probably more the Microsoft sort of model of government takeover. But I really do believe that FedBook is a creation of the federal government through a private partnership with a shill they found at some college somewhere that was willing to play ball with them, and it's this Zuckerberg guy. And, you know, I can't prove it either. You know, I can't prove that, but...
And I agree with you. There's no way to prove it, it could very well be, and it wouldn't be the first time the government has fronted somebody, you know, to do something like that. At all, we have there's all kinds of history of that you can look up. My problem is I just don't give the government as much credit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the thing that, I mean, while he maybe might not have started off as a shill, he became one pretty quickly, you know.
Well, and I think, like I said, everybody, I think most people listening agree that whichever way it happened, at this point,
it doesn't matter.
They are working with the government.
Yeah.
And Google is too, and so is Microsoft, that's what I believe.
Well, so let's go a step. Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't matter what they started with. At this point, It is, in fact, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
They are the ones doing the spying. They're the ones doing the collecting of information. But here's the thing that I bring up numerous times, like on Stan's program, is back in the 90s, I've been doing this for a long time, and back in the 90s, there was a lot of people that talked about, you know, Big Brother and all these things. And the things that we're seeing now, whether it's all the cameras and the ability for Amazon to be able to hot mic you and turn on their thing while you're watching TV, or the Xbox 360 wanting their camera and thing left on all the time so they can film. The point is all of those things back in the 90s people would have screamed about. Now nobody seems to care, Frank.
Well, and people were screaming about it, saying this is on the way, this is what they have planned, this is what's coming, and everybody, you know, there were few people doing that, and most of the other people were pointing fingers and saying, you're a conspiracy nut, your tinfoil hat's on too tight, and all this other stuff. And now here it is happening, and you're right, you know, most people, I mean, and there are privacy advocates out there, and they are screaming about it, but, you know, as far as the general population goes, they're not saying much because they don't care about anything and they don't realize what the ramifications are, because really they're drugged, they're distracted, and they're mentally ill, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, and that's the general population. That's not, you know, the minority of people that listen to alternative radio and watch alternative videos and really kind of do have a grasp of what's going on and the ramifications. You see, it's one thing to understand what's going on. Oh, okay, so, you know, Amazon's going to build a big a cloud for the NSA. You will be, meanwhile, they're, you know, they've got a device they want to put in your house that can't be shut off. And, you know, so we see all these things going on, and you might say, well, yeah, I'm aware of that. I saw that in the news. I know that. But most of the people don't put, well, what are the ramifications of what they're doing? What is all this going to mean? Why would they want to do this? Why would they want to know every little thing about you? And I'll tell you why. Because they feed it all into a computer, the computer does a computer model, and comes up with a profile of you. And they want to be able to predict what you're going to do. And they want to, Minority Report was a cool sci-fi movie.
Right,
but
right.
I'm sorry, it's not sci-fi anymore. It's not fiction anymore. It's science fact. And this is what they want to do. They want to do pre-crimes. They want to be able to market specifically to you. You know, okay, that's business, and it's a bit intrusive and all, but
right. It's
not necessarily going to damage anybody, you know. I mean, okay, so an ad is specific to you. All right, well, great. But you see, it goes a lot further than that. They're predicting what you want to buy, just like they're predicting what crimes you're going to commit in the future.
Right.
And why would they want to do that? Well, so they can arrest you before you do it, of course. And that is a concept that it doesn't go along with what people understand as their protected rights.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go with this, folks. First, you need to watch the, you know, George Orwell's, that was, now I'm having a brain, you know what.
1984.
1984, yeah. You need to watch that movie. And there's an older version that's really cool, but there's a newer version that's also cool. Okay, the older version is black and white.
Yep.
But then you need to watch, and there probably is a book, but you need to watch Minority Report and realize this is really where we're at. You know, while, Frank, I believe that with you, I believe part of the drug that you said the population is drugged up,
mm-hmm.
I believe the drug is all of this information and everything that they're being fed. It's not necessarily drugs in the same sense as what, you know, back in the 60s or, you know, or going on with the kids or different people taking something orally. I believe that they're doing it in a worse manner, and that's through all the electronics. It's drugging your brain. It's changing your brain.
Now, that was I was thinking of that when I said distracted and drugged.
Oh.
Now,
oh.
When I said drugged, I really mean drugged, okay? And distracted, is what I was thinking of when, you know, I was thinking of, you know, all the information overload, I guess they call it, right?
Right.
I mean, we're getting information all the time from everywhere now. And the sad thing is most of it's controlled, you know. But when I mean drugged, I really mean drugged, because just a quick rundown, we got fluoride in the water.
Right.
We got chemtrails in the sky. God only knows what's in that stuff. Okay?
Really?
We got hormones and antibiotics in our food supply. Our food supply is riddled with genetically modified organisms that have pesticides in it and herbicides in it. And a lot of these herbicides and pesticides work by how they kill these bugs is by destroying some genes in them. So they're using
right.
gene therapy, and, you know, on and on it goes. We have Morgellons disease with weird things coming out of people's skin. They don't know where that comes from. You see, so when I say drug, they really are drugging
the mass population. I do agree with you. I wasn't thinking about those lines because we were talking about electronics. I wasn't thinking about those things, but you're right. And you can't tell me that this genetically modified corn and all this other stuff isn't going to at some point change your genetics. It just doesn't seem feasible.
Right. And a lot of times they will drug people, you know, and they don't drug them to drug them out of their mind or anything. They just give them enough drugs to make them more pliable to suggestion. Doesn't mean you're a zombie or you're brainwashed. It just means you're more apt to go along than you are to fight something. You know, and that's one of the known effects of fluoride, okay?
Right.
Like I say, we don't know what's in the chemtrails. We don't know what effect the genetically modified organisms are going to have, or what effect all the hormones and all the pesticides and all the herbicides and all the antibiotics are going to really have in the long run on people. But we do know that fluoride does make you more docile.
Really? I didn't know that. But
well,
Hitler used what other excuse they have for it? It's not, you know.
No, Hitler used fluoride in the Polish ghettos. And what a Polish ghetto was, is it was basically just a neighborhood, okay, of a city. And mm-hmm. what they would do is, you know, if you've ever been to a city, you know, it's pretty closed up anyway. I mean, you got buildings everywhere and some streets going through. And all they did was put up gates at the end of these streets and close off a whole area of the city. And they would put the people they found undesirable in there. And just, this is where you're going to live. Big prison, basically. And they spiked the water supply into those ghettos with fluoride specifically for the reason of keeping the population docile.
Okay, I got to break in. We're going to go to a break. People, you can listen to the Frank Report two different times a day, I'm pretty sure,
yep.
at AmericanVoiceRadio.com, and you can find the schedule over there for that and for many other programs. So visit Frank, and we'll be back in 3 minutes with more.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific. prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors, the mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. So why did so many people come to us? We're just a little tiny mission church. Well, they come for love. That's the first answer. And then when they walk in, they're treated as family. You know, they're not looked down upon like, hey, you're in an agency. You got to make sure you sign that paper before you get in the door. You know, we got to make sure that we count you. We need your name. We need to know how long that you've been. No, we don't need any of that. What it is people walk in the door. They know where most of the people are sitting at. They go in there and sit down. They interact with people. They get fed sandwiches, you know, for 1 to 3. And at 4:30, there's a regular meal. They got a clothes closet. They can go over there and get clothing. They don't have to go over and say, okay, can I have this item or one or two items? They can take a bag in there and fill up what they want. You know, people self-govern themselves pretty well if you allow them to self-govern themselves. We don't ever see anybody. I think only once did I see a couple of girls come in and get a wardrobe, meaning, you know, trash bags. Each of them had a couple of trash bags, you know, and filled them up all at once. But the point is, most people get a little, like, store bag and go over there and get a pair of jeans and a couple shirts, you know, and blah, blah, blah. They govern themselves. Most people self-govern. And you know what? The homeless aren't a bunch of just bums. You know, these are people that lost jobs. Most of them aren't drugs and alcoholics. They're people. You know, they're human beings. So they come to us because they're treated as family. And, yeah, I can't count how many. Somebody says, well, somebody was here looking for you. And I said, yeah, what'd they say? Well, they said they were looking for Dad. Well, if they don't call me Pastor Dan, that was the nickname they gave me, it's Dad, and then my wife is Mom. And, you know, if you counted all my children that I have in Wichita that have adopted me, so to speak, there's thousands of them, I'm telling you. And we've helped in the This is our 15th year. In the 15 years we've been doing this, we've helped thousands upon thousands of people with all kinds of things. You know, I can't go anywhere in Wichita just about. Somebody don't see me and say, hey, Pastor Dan, what are you doing? They'll come running up to me and maybe give me a hug, or run into them at a store and they're a worker there or a manager there. And they tell me, you know, well, you remember me? You picked me up off the street, blah, blah, blah. You know, we have lots of praise reports. So we've been doing this for 15 years. And so the people that we minister to are the poorest of the poor. So normally, let's see, what's a church do? A church normally, you get people from the neighborhood, whatever, people come to church, they do their 10% thing, and then the church funds whatever projects. Okay, that's kind of how it works, I think. Well, in our case, we're ministering to the poorest of the poor, and they can't support what we do. And I'm not a rich person. As I said on radio, you know, I do have a personal income that's separate from the ministry, and over half of that, or most of it, is given to the church every month. And so, how do we support ourselves? It's people like you that are listening to us right now on radio, and people that are getting our mail out newsletter that donate. You know, a lot of people are like, well, you must be getting millions of dollars. He's just in it for the money. No, I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it to help these people because God the Father told me to do it. And these people rely on us. They come looking for first aid and all kinds of things. Anyway, so pray about it. We need your help, especially during the summertime. Where for whatever reason, when school goes out, the water spigot seems to turn off. And it turns back on when school goes back in. But we're still running during this. We're having more and more people come to us that need help. And so we need your help to stay open. We have no set guidelines, again, like programs. People just walk in. That's the rule. And if we don't have what they need to help them, we pray it in. That's why agencies, they tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop those people from helping, they send people to us. All the time people say, well, I was told to come see you. Well, who by? Well, a worker at such and such agency, I ought to go see you because they couldn't help me. Really? People have millions of dollars in their budget. Send people to a place that has no budget. And most of the time, very little money. You know, we are responsible folks for each other. We are the last hope for so many. We are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order. You can find all that information at prophecyhour.com or simply call me at 620-878-4682. And we're having a real good program tonight. We're now back with Frank Stephan, and he has his own radio program on American Voice Radio called The Frank Report. And are you still with me, Frank?
I am.
Okay, well, you know, you were talking about, we were kind of talking about information overload. That looks like a good place to go into the second part of this program. What do you mean, too much information? What are you talking about?
Well, we've got the internet, we've got TV, we've got radio, we've, you know, still got newspapers and magazines and all that, and they seem to be failing a little bit, but it's 24/7 now. I mean, it used to be. And I do look at the internet as, you know, having a public library or a college library right in your desk, which is great. But it's 24/7, whereas you used to have to go, okay, I'm going down the library, you know, or, you know, whatever. And people, you know, then used to sit in front of the TV, you know, 24 hours a day. And now you go from one screen to the next. You go from TV to the internet to, the, you know, and that's it. And how do you process all that? I mean, you do a news show, I do a news show, but that's what we do. Now, if that's not what we did, and, you know, you had a job you're supposed to be at 8 hours a day, you got a family you're supposed to be taking care of, or at least, you know, talking to, you know, you got to drive back and forth to work, you know, you got all these things you got to do. How are you going to be able to process all this information? You know, how are you going to keep it all straight? See, reading the information is one thing. And that's what I mean by overload. It's not the fact that people can't read this stuff. It's you read it and then what? You know, you're supposed to think about it, meditate on it, You're supposed to, you know, discern what's true and what's not and all that good stuff. But when you're just being fed more and more and more and more, you got no time for that. You can't do that. So what you end up doing is simply accepting everything you read just by because they said so. And right. That is a very dangerous thing to do. I mean, imagine if you did this with your, you know, with your diet and you just right. ate and ate and ate and ate and ate and you're too busy eating to ever have any chance to go to the bathroom. So you just keep eating more and more and more. You're going to have a problem. And I think that's what's going on with the information.
Yeah, absolutely. You said a key word there, you know, and it's process. You know, they count on you. You know, most people will go towards sites, you know what I mean, towards how they feel politically or whatever, you know. And so they don't look deeper into the other sides. Now, I don't know how much time you actually spend in front of the news, but you know what? On the days that I'm not, even at the mission church, I have the news turned on. But when I am working out of my office at home, I hit the news. I figured it up yesterday, and I about fell over. I'm like 9 to 10, 11 hours mm-hmm. in front of the screen reading news from all over the world and discerning what's right and what's real and so on and so forth. But, you know, after all these years, it's easy, if you know what I mean, Frank, it's fairly easy to be able to look at it telling they're telling a line, you know, because we've did it so long.
Sure, you know? And... You know, even if you're not sure, and, you know, a lot of times, like we mentioned at the beginning there, well, this is what I think about what's going on with Google and FedBook and this, but I can't prove it, right? This is right. just what I feel's going on from what I've seen. And the same goes for the news. I mean, a lot of the time I'll read something and I go, boy, that sounds like a load of, you know what, but I don't know that, you know, that it's true until I say, okay, so I take my internet and I do some searches, and right. I try to verify as best I can and see what else is on this subject. What other kind of things are on this? What is related to this? And right. I don't think people are doing enough of that because I think they're too busy being inundated by more information. Not okay. I guess what
well,
I want to say is like you got a story and you get it shot to you and you go, wow, okay, I'm not sure if I believe this. So you go looking around for related things pertaining to that story. I don't think people are doing that in general enough because I think the minute they get a story and they go, I'm not sure if that's true, bang, they're getting hit with another story about something completely different, and they're going, boop, I got to pay attention to this now. And they never take the time or have the chance to
finish
verify
up on the
anything,
story.
You know?
Well, let's go with this. Let's think about it in this manner also. The normal John Q. citizen isn't as interested in the news, so to speak, as we are. So when they come home for work, they might look or read a little bit of it, but most of them aren't on the news. They're going over to that other place that we're talking about, Facebook, and say stupid things to each other and show stupid pictures of each other and with stupid sayings on them.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not down on any, I'm not trying
oh,
to
I
upset
am.
Anybody, but well, good. Somebody's got to do it. Anyway, but so much time is wasted over there. You know, I test it every once in a while. I'll go over there and it don't matter what time of day or night, I can, you know, I'll click a little post, usually a Christian saying or something like that, you know, and post it over there, and just to see how many likes I get. So I'm kind of testing an experiment myself. And I notice which people always like it, you know what I mean? But it amazes me is how it seems like no matter what time of day or night, these same people are always there. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
How does that happen? But let's go with that. Pictures. That's what I was trying to, what started this between me and you is that I read and I did some research back on it, and it's something that's been coming, is that the more that people use their cameras and take pictures of, oh, here's another little picture of my family, and my camera will take 4 shots in a row. Boom, 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 boom. You know, I can set it to do that, and they're just split second, split second, split second. But scientists say that now that's not really good for us because by doing this, we're not putting the memories in our own brains that we are less likely to remember what happened in that scene, like a year later, months later, or whatever, because we're allowing the camera to try to do our thinking for us. So in a sense, are we becoming part of these machines, Frank?
Well, I you know, and we did talk about this during the break, and I think it's kind of like the, you know, okay, so I get a broken leg and the doctor gives me crutches, and for 6 weeks I walk around on these crutches because I got a broken leg, and there's nothing wrong with that, and those crutches are useful to me and helpful. But if after my leg heals I decide, you know, I feel kind of lazy and I think I'd rather just use these crutches than walk, well, after a while my legs aren't going to want to work anymore. So I you know, that makes sense to me that that is how it would be, that if you're going to rely on pictures, stuff that is there, your memory is just going to, it's going to figure, well, I don't have to remember this stuff because you've got pictures of it. And after a while, we're not going to be able to remember things, and then we can go back to something you mentioned, 1984, and something they named in there the memory hole.
Yeah, absolutely. And so where are all those pictures going?
And you know what, Dan? They do that now, if you'll notice.
Yeah,
when you call somewhere, and I have done this because, as a matter of fact, I'm fixing it, you know, I'm in the middle of doing something like that now. And I'll explain why. My T1 went down 2 days ago for something like 14 hours. And when I first got this T1, I could call the phone company and say, listen, it's down, and they'd say, okay, you know, and it's midnight. An hour and a half later, I'd be getting a phone call from a guy at my gate at 2 o'clock in the morning here to fix that T1. Now, I called it 15 minutes past 5, and they told me now that, oh, well, we'll get back to you during business hours tomorrow, right? So something's changed. And I have had these things happen before where I'll call and I say, now, listen, this is how you used to do it, and now you're doing it this way. What's happened? And they will look me straight in the eye and say, oh, no, it was never like that. We never did it like that. It was not like that. No. It's always been the way it is right now. And I know for a fact that's not true, right?
Right.
But these people are selling this to me, and they expect everybody to buy it. And that's the danger here, because before too long, everybody's going to buy it because they're not going to remember the way it used to be. I mean, it's the same sort of tactic they use, and now they're using it everywhere. But I noticed it first at the public school district. You call and you complain, and you say, hey, you know what? I don't like this curriculum you're teaching my kid. I'm a taxpayer, I'm a property taxpayer, and I don't like you spending my money on this, that, or the other thing, right?
Right.
And they'd be real nice and say, oh boy, well, yeah, okay, well, I'll take that down, and I'll tell, you know, whoever is appropriate to tell, but, you know, I just want you to know that, you know, you're the only one who's complained about this. And they'd leave
right.
That. Well, if you, you know, have a group or something, and you say, all right, look, everybody in this group needs to call the school district and complain about this thing, whatever it is, right?
Right.
And you get back to your group and you find out they told every single one that complained that they're the only one that complained.
The only ones that complain. But they're selling that. That is on a major basis. I get that all the time. That's why we need to. It's the same way with, whenever I'm going to go into something legal, I read up on the law and what the law actually says. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a problem. Well, let's go with this. The ministry church was, not church, but the woman's shelter. It was a building. It's a fourplex, right, Frank? And it was donated to Messiah's Branch. Okay, Messiah's Branch is, we are a church, not a 501(c) corporation, right? Okay, and so the guy, I told him what to put it in, you know, and he comes back and he says, title company says that can't happen. They got to have your name on it. And I said, really? Well, let me go over to the title company with you. So we go to the title company, and the title company says, nope. He says, if you're not a corporation, no. And he says, well, you're just a church. I said, yeah. And he says, well, then your name has to be on it. And I said, no, it doesn't. He says, well, in the state of Kansas, the church, a church has to do it this way. A church that isn't a corporation cannot hold title to a property. And I said, really? I said, well, and I acted real meek. I said, well, could you please tell me, you know, what the statute and the number and everything is, so, because I'm going to go look it up, because I didn't know that. And he said, well, I don't know exactly where it's at. I said, well, where did you get your information? He said, oh, that's what I was told. Well, a guy was making it up as he was going along, but that was going to be his story and stick to it, right?
Yep.
Well, we went ahead, and I told it back to the church, and I said, okay, just make out title, massage branch. We can do it ourselves. We made out a title. And in the meantime, to comfort this man that was giving me the building, I looked it up on the internet, you know, to find out what it says about church holding title in the state of Kansas. What do you think I found?
Oh, probably that you can.
Yeah, absolutely. It says that a church, and not a corporation, can well hold property in the state of Kansas, and it just says that the ecclesiastical head can sign for that, whoever the ecclesiastical head is at the time of the sale or purchase. So in other words, so I went to the courthouse with him, we filed a title, and the title, the only thing that has on it is Messiah's Branch, and that's it. It doesn't have my name on it anywhere. It has the address, and it has Messiah's Branch. And it belongs to God. But you see, God can hold title in the state of Kansas. But he wanted me to believe that it couldn't happen. And it's the same thing. And there's a real world instance. We're smarter than you. This is our field, so you have to believe us.
Yep. Yeah, and it's the way we want it. Where's this lie?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and there's the other part of it. You know, I mean, I'm going to lie now, and you're not supposed to ask me, well, where is it at, you know? And, you know, he was dumbfounded. When I looked him in the eye and I said, well, you know, well, we're, and I did it meek. I said, well, where's the statute? You know, tell me. I want to look it up, man. I want to learn. Well, I don't remember it right offhand. I said, well, really? Where'd you get the information? Well, that's what I was told, you know. Oh, okay. Well, then it must be law, right? Yeah.
And
anyway.
I'm going to a professional that knows nothing except what somebody told him.
Right, and that's right. One of the biggest title companies in downtown Wichita, Kansas, you know.
Well, and that's the whole thing. You know, people want to go to title companies and things like that, and they don't have to. I mean, you can properties allowed to be passed. As a matter of fact, they can't make any laws interfering with the obligation of a contract, and a property being, you know, passed from one to the next is a contract.
Right, right. Absolutely. And, you know, it is easy. It is really simple. You know, the only question they had is the woman had when we took the title up that we made was she said, was there any cash passport back and forth? And we said, no, ma'am. Right down there it says it's a donation. She said, okay. And so when we got the title back, they sent it back to us in the mail, and it was stamped with all their state stuff on it. You know, it clearly showed that we paid nothing for the building, you know what I mean, that it was a donation. And, you know, so Messiah's Branch, God owns Messiah's Branch. How many churches out there, let's ask this question, A corporation is owned by the state. That's the head of any corporation. So then how many church buildings out there are owned by God, or are they owned by the state? Which do you think?
Well, I know of three now that are owned by God. And you know, that's how many I know of. And I presume, you know, most of the others are, you know, just the corporations. They're corporations. People are pastors, and you know, a lot of folks will say, well, you know, you really can't blame them. They're not lawyers, and they just, you know, they go to a lawyer and they take advice, and the lawyer tells them, well, you know, you want to start a church, you got to be a 501c3, and that's just what they tell you. It's not true, but that's what they tell you anyway, just like that guy told you. You know, well,
right.
It's this way, you know, and but it's not. But the thing is, my thing is that, look, okay, a pastor can't really be ignorant. I mean, or else
no.
He shouldn't be a pastor. I mean, you know, he's there to be teaching and guiding the flock and stuff like that. You can't do that if you're ignorant. And,
right.
You know, if you're ignorant about the beginning, the foundation, of your church. Well, I got to think, you know, you're going to be ignorant of all biblical things.
But, well, look at this. Most pastors, and I'm not, and the smaller the towns and smaller the church, it's less so. But most churches, the pastor is a hireling, meaning they can be quickly and easily fired, just like, you know, well, we didn't, he preached on, against pre-trib rapture, so let's fire him.
Yeah,
the point
the,
is,
we get the board, the deacon,
yeah, well,
whoever
the board,
that.
And there you go. You know, the board, well, they say that, well, there's a council of, the way they get around it now, they say, you got to have a council of elders, really. The point is the modern day church is set up like a business. It's not set up as a church. And how does the Holy Spirit flow when it's being controlled? When the pastor gets up there and says, well, I wonder if I'm going to upset all the elders, but God or the Holy Spirit, you know, put this on my heart to preach this message, you know, because the message, guess what, folks? The message that you get preached to should cut you to the bone. That's what it says. The word of God cuts to the bone. It should cut you to the bone. It should make you repent so that you can keep your salvation, so you can be right to be with him in the next world. It's not about what, wine and roses and football games.
Well, that's true, and that's, you know, and that's for every person at that church. But as the church itself goes, I remember reading a story in the Bible where Jesus walked into the temple and flipped over the tables and whipped the people there, and he did so because they were making merchandise of the gospel.
Amen.
Now, if you're going to run your church as a business, as a corporation, aren't you making merchandise of the gospel?
You know what? Without pointing a finger and making accusation, it seems that way, especially when you go back to what a corporation is. Look up a corporation and understand that every corporation, that the state is in charge of that corporation, it has rules. It sets the rules, and they're not set by the Holy Spirit. So if you're a corporation, how can you be an uncontrolled entity that's controlled by God, the church? Anyway, Frank, I'm going to have to say goodbye to you. We're running out of time.
All right,
great
Dan.
Program. I know that I'll get you on again, especially coming to the summertime, but I appreciate you being on with me. Tell them where they can find the Frank Report.
Well, first, thanks for having me on, and the Frank Report's right here on American Voice Radio Network at noon Pacific and 8 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday.
Yeah, amen. And you got archives over there too, right?
Yeah, along with all the shows are archived. So mine is too, and mine's usually a little late, but you know, it gets there eventually.
It gets there eventually. Okay. Anyway, thanks for being on with me, and
thanks
I'm gonna let you go.
Man.
Sorry. Okay. Bye bye, folks. Listen to the things that we talked about tonight. Nobody's trying to scare you, but it should scare you. Because you're allowing technology and things to control your lives. And what better place than America, the land of the free, right? Because we have all this freedom. Freedom should be taken seriously. And your freedom is being taken away from the very things that you're using, your cell phone, your TV, your smart TV, your computer. All of those things are taking away your freedom. All are being monitored. They're watching. Big Brother is watching. It is 1984. It's past. We must remember, though, there is only one God. He is your father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. Folks, he gave his life for your repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. You get that? 3 days and three nights. That's what it is. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you in such a way that he gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time with Messiah's Branch.